Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Titus Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope, The Transformational Guide. And I also have my wonderful co-host, Cindy Holbrook, who is a compassionate divorce coach at CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Our topic today is, what do you need to be to have the type of love you want? First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. Also, go to RewriteStory.com for a very special gift that we're giving away.
Wow. You know, I keep meeting all of these guys, and I just want to be loved so much. You know, I want to meet a nice guy, but I don't think that there's any good guys out there anymore. At first, you know, the first date or two, they pay me all kinds of attention, and then all of a sudden they just turn out to be assholes, or they don't call me when they said they're going to call me, or they expect me to be at their beck and call. I just don't understand why these guys don't give me the type of affection that I want. What's wrong with me that they're not giving me what I want?
You know, Cindy, I totally get where you're coming from. I went to a club just to, you know, to have a good time, listen to some good music, and I saw this very vibrant female, and so I thought that there was a connection there. I thought, oh God, you know, I finally looks like I might meet the right one. But her friend kind of like cut me off at the pass and said, you know what, she can have anybody she wants. And I'm thinking, well, what about me? You know, that's what I thought in my head. And she just like kind of brushed me off and said, nah, I don't think you're the type. And I said, whoa. I go, so what is it about me that didn't make me attractive enough? Or what is it about me that energetically I was not the right person for her friend?
And welcome to today's show. Who do you need to be to have the type of love you want? You can join in on the conversation by going to facebook.com/groups/yourtoxicrelationshipdance. You can also join the chat room in the blog talk on the blog talk page. You can click on that when you go to the Facebook page. Or you can phone in at 713-955-0561. And a lot of times we think, and it's the reason that I chose this topic this week, is because a lot of times we think that more about what the person is giving us versus what we are giving the other person. If you want to date a certain type of person, you need to ask yourself, what qualities does that type of a person look for? And do I have those qualities? And a lot of times, you know, in relationships, one of the main reasons they go toxic is, I think, simply because we are trying to, because we're more in the what's in it for me versus what do I have to give. And it's a completely different mindset. And whenever you're giving, I'm not saying to give away your soul either, because you can't give yourself away. But you can definitely ask yourself, how can I be a better person? How can I act differently to attract the type of love that I want in my life? And even if you're currently in a toxic relationship, there's a lot of truth in that. I remember when my marriage first started going bad, Earl used to always tell me, if you would just be you. And I kept thinking, I am being me. But, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, and looking back, I stopped being me because I started trying to be who I thought he wanted me to be. And I totally lost who I was, and I wasn't acting like me anymore. So whenever you're in this toxic relationship, you have to ask yourself, am I being true to me first? Am I really being me? Or am I changing because I think, that's the big word there, I think that this my mate wants me to act differently. So this is a huge key in asking, who do you need to be to have the type of love you want? Is first of all, be yourself. And second of all, be willing and look for the opportunities for you to grow as a person, so you are the type of person that the type of person you want will be attracted to.
You know, it's interesting, Cindy, and I'm going to be very frank and honest here. I know for many years, the first part of my life, I think most people do this, is when you start getting involved in a relationship, unless you're aware or conscious, and there's some people in the audience that are understand this, but for the most part, you know, we look at a relationship, especially when we first start out, what you look at it and say, what am I going to get out of this? Or, you know, and it's always coming from the point of view of what are you going to get? And it wasn't until later on in life that I realized, what am I going to give? You know, because when you attract somebody into your life, it's because of who you are at that moment. You know, whatever vibration, whatever energy you are, and whatever level of life you're at, that's the kind of person that's going to come towards you. And the higher quality that you are in your characteristics and your character and your demeanor and your whatever, how you handle life, that's the type of person that will be drawn to you, because everything's energy and you magnetize towards you by being who you are. So going back to my original premise, I used to get involved in relationships because I used to think, okay, what is it I'm going to get, you know? And it never worked out that way. And it wasn't until I realized what is it that I have to offer. I like that better word than giving. Yeah, what is it that I have to offer into the relationship? What is it that I have to offer to the other person? You know, and so that way that person is going to want to offer back the same thing to me or better.
And this goes into so much, you know, of a deeper thought, especially whenever you first meet somebody, because you meet somebody and, like, they're really hot, you're really attracted to them physically, and, you know, you start talking, you laugh, and all of a sudden you start getting goo-goo-eyed, and you feel on top of the world, and it's just that feeling of newness, and everything is so exciting to you, and this is the time that, and then you're thinking, wow, I've met the love of my life, and this person is just so, you know, rocks my world. But you're dealing off of emotion, really just pure adrenaline, versus taking a step back and saying, number one, what do I have to offer this person? And number two, is this person really, you know, who is this person really? It takes time to know somebody. And we get so caught up in those first couple of meetings where we see the person and all of a sudden, you know, we're floating on clouds and you know, we kiss them and we see stars. But all of this is a feeling, and usually, you know, these temporary emotions, even if you stay with that person and it is a healthy relationship, in time, the newness wears off. So does the walking on cloud feeling and the seeing stars every time you kiss them. And a lot of people crave that initial newness, and this is why they go from one relationship to the next, 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 is they're constantly looking for the newness, that exciting feeling that you get when you first meet somebody, and they never ask themselves the two vital questions. One, what do I have to offer this person? Number two, what does this person have to offer me? Because in a healthy relationship, you are both 100% okay with who you are, but you support each other and you help the other person be the best version of them.
I'm going to slide off topic a little bit here. Well, it's not off topic. It's kind of indirectly involved with this. So here's an interesting aspect of this, and a great topic, by the way, Cindy. So sometimes people, when they're heartbroken, down in the dumps, perhaps getting ready to give up, or, you know, whatever, and someone comes along and just totally lifts them up. I mean, like, and I don't buy into this, but I'm going to mention it right now. that the sort of person, and you mentioned newness, and the people start feeling, this person completes me. Now, I don't buy into that concept, but I'm just using that.
Right.
A lot of people feel that way. Okay, this person completes me. I was heartbroken from a previous relationship. This person has now brought me back into life, blah, 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 blah. I would say that is probably the worst time to get into a relationship because now you become dependent on another person rather than evolving and going through the healing process for yourself.
Right. And that's you know, the complete me. That's basically, you know, I mean, I'm just saying it in a different way, but it's like they rock your world. They totally rock your world, and you think that, that wow, you know, this is the person that I've been waiting for. He or she likes all the same things that I do. They make me laugh, you know, and it's all about they make me laugh, they make me feel giddy, they make me feel beautiful, they make me feel, you know, however. And, you know, we go back always to my favorite quote. Anytime you say, this person makes me feel, it's something that you should step back and ask yourself about that question. Because, you know, as my favorite quote, Eleanor Roosevelt, no one can make me feel inferior without my permission. And the reason that I love the quote is because you can change that word inferior with any emotion in the world. So no one can make me feel sexy without my permission. No one can make me feel happy without my permission. No one can make me feel loved without my permission. So whenever you meet this person and everything's new and you're saying, oh, they make me feel this way or that way, it's not them that's making you feel that way. It's your own self making you feel that way because you're allowing it to happen. You're allowing it into your world. You're allowing it into your life. So anytime you're like, they make me feel, ask yourself, because another person cannot make you feel anything. For parents, I always ask the big question. It's like, Al, can you be sick enough to make your child healthy? Can you be sad enough to make your child happy? And the answer is always no. You can never be anything to make your child be something, just like nobody else can make you feel a certain way. It's a feeling that you're accepting, and it's you're telling yourself it's this person, but it's asking yourself, what is the circumstances that's making me feel this way? What do I like about it? What do I not like about it? And this is how you can grow into healthier relationships, is by really looking at yourself and what it is that makes you feel good. Because, you know, I always go back to flowers, because Earl never bought me flowers. And I used to be so sad. I can't tell you how many times I used to cry at work on, like, Valentine's Day because all these other people would be getting flowers and I never got flowers. I didn't even get flowers whenever I gave birth to my kids. I never got flowers. And so Mike knew that how much I wanted flowers, so he used to send me flowers all the time whenever I worked. And my coworkers would go, you know, I don't understand. You're excited every time you get flowers, and you get them so often. But getting flowers brings this exciting, loving feeling to me, you know. But I can't say that it's Mike that's doing it. Mike knows what makes me happy, so therefore he's doing it because he wants to. But he's not the one that's making me happy. If I just get this super high from getting flowers at, well, I don't work in an office anymore, but I got this high of getting flowers delivered to me at the office. And so you have to ask yourself, what is the circumstance that you're looking for? Because it's not the quote-unquote person, it's the action. And whenever you start looking at each action separately, is you know what you want. But even getting back to our the topic, who do you need to be to have the type of love you want? You really also have to ask yourself constantly, you know, if you want, you know, I wanted a man that was romantic. So who did I have to be? I had to be somebody who would appreciate the romance, and I had to be somebody who would really relate that appreciation to my mate, because otherwise, you know, a man or a woman sits there and does something, they think the other person's going to be happy. And it, once somebody starts taking it for granted, the joy is over. The joy of giving is over. But to this day, Mike knows if he brings me home flowers, I get all excited and giddy. To me, that's the most romantic gesture in the world. And it's not going to be like that to everybody, but it's knowing who you are and what you want. But it's also how are you, what are you offering to the other person? How are you helping make them feel good about themselves? So whenever Mike brings me home and I thank him, thank him, thank him, he gets happy because he made me happy, so therefore I'm offering something to him. And I hope all this is making sense.
So, you know, it sounds like, and I'm going to add some my insights here. So it sounds like, based on the conversation that we're having, and I'm going to go on several levels here. Number one is you got to be the best of you. You have to be the optimal you, because if you're not the optimal you, then you're not going to get the optimal other significant other, or you're not going to have an optimal relationship. You have to be optimal with you. And here's an example that I can share. You know, if you don't love yourself, and I know that's the common thread that runs through most of our shows. You know, loving yourself and self-care is mandatory. But if you don't, for some reason, and for whatever reason, you're probably going to eventually attract somebody to you that doesn't love themselves either. And that's like, even though it may start out great, but eventually the fact that both of you don't love yourselves, it's going to have an effect on the relationship. Because then you start becoming dependent on the other person loving you. And when that starts fading, or if it doesn't go the way you think it should, then you're gonna go into a deep ditch, and you're gonna wonder, wow, what happened? But it all started because you didn't love yourself, and you attracted somebody into your life that didn't love themselves either. And so I'm just using that as an example. So my suggestion is of yourself, and Cindy used the word feel. You know what? If you're counting on the other person to make you feel a certain way, that you're going down the wrong path, because you have to feel for yourself. Happiness comes from within. You know, love comes from within. If you're counting on the other person to fulfill that or to provide that for you, then it's not going to work, because you're relying on an outside source to support you, when in reality you should do it for yourself. So I guess what I'm leaving back to is be the best that you can be. Be the optimal person that you are. And eventually what will happen is you'll eliminate that energy, and you will attract somebody towards you that meets your level, your standard, you know, how you think, how you feel, how you speak. And that's the type of person that will come into your life.
I love it. And with being optimal, I have a couple of things here to say. With being optimal, and I know that you know this, Al, and you said a couple of times, be the best that you can be. But, you know, don't strive for perfection, because believe me, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Al's not perfect. Yep, we burst your bubble. Al and I are not perfect. But whenever you're being optimal, you are being the best that you can be in that particular moment. And this is always the question, am I being the best version of me right this moment? Can I be a little bit better right this minute? We've all had times where we have done stupid-ass things that we regret like 30 seconds later. You know, we blow up at the grocery store clerk, or we blow up because somebody cut us off on the freeway, our coworker said some snide remark to us, and all of a sudden we are not the best version of us, and we do something that we're not real proud of. Or it might even be a thought that we think of that we're not real proud of. I always go back to whenever I used to pray that Earl would die. I wasn't proud of that thought while I was having it. And so it's saying, how can I be a little bit better, just a little bit, right this moment? So if you're sitting there cussing out the dude that cut you off, it's like saying, you know, hey, maybe he didn't see me. Maybe he's rushing to the hospital because he just got a phone call, you know, and try to, you know, soften the thought to where you're feeling. So you're being a better version of you, where you're being a little bit more loving and compassionate towards the world versus, you know, everything being about you, blaming other people or situations for your feelings, because you own your feelings and you can always reach for a better thought. And with self-love is not egotistical and it's not narcissistic. So many people, when they're talking about toxic relationships, they say, oh, you don't know my ex. They're such a narcissist. They're so into themselves. They're so in love with themselves. And self-love is not narcissistical. All self-love is taking care of your needs and knowing what it is that you need. Because believe me, if you're not taking care of your needs, nobody else is able to take care of your needs. And so self-love is knowing that you're a valuable human being and you're craving love and acceptance from somebody else, but start loving and accepting yourself for who you are, and stop trying to be who you think other people want you to be. You know, this is, I think, the hugest reason for toxic relationships is you have a bunch of people trying to be somebody they think the other person wants them to be. Or the other person says something like, you know, if Al told me, God sent you, you're so rude, I might think, what do you mean I'm rude? How was I being rude? And I would start doubting myself. But if Al says, Cindy, you have green hair, I'm going to go, you're crazy, Al. I do not have green hair. So this is how we change, because we start accepting what other people are telling us. But you do have an accept and a reject button in your mind. Automatically, I reject the thought that I have green hair because I know for a fact I don't. But if somebody says, hey, I'm rude, I might start questioning myself. And when that happens, you just need to do a little bit of self-assessment. Was I being rude? Could have I been better? Let it go. It doesn't mean this other person knows you better than you do. And this other person doesn't know what's in your heart. So you could have been doing something out of 100% love and compassion, and somebody else says you're being rude or obnoxious or angry or whatever, pissy. You start thinking that they're right, but they're not right. You know your heart, and it's trusting in your heart. And the third thing I wanted to address was, you know, Al talks a lot about, you know, I know he doesn't like the cards. We all know he doesn't like the cards. He says, oh, you complete me. And back in the 90s, there was a psychiatrist, I do not remember his name, but he had this program. And he was talking about how people who they don't feel whole, they don't feel, you know, they don't have that self-love that they need really to have a happy life. They don't feel like they're a whole person. A lot of families we was raised in, but we don't feel whole. We feel like we're half a person. So we seek out somebody else that's another half of a person trying to make a whole. And two halves will not make a whole. It's like if I sit here and I rip a $1 bill in half and Al rips a $1 bill in half, I cannot take half of his $1 bill and half of my $1 bill and make a dollar bill. And this is what you are trying to do whenever you're trying to find somebody to, quote, unquote, complete you, or you don't feel like you're a whole person, or you don't feel like you're worthy unless you have, you know, somebody else in your life. It's you need to discover your whole person for yourself. And that's really whenever you're open to the self-love and you're open to be you are being the person that you need to be to have the type of love that you want.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Cindy. And again, I remember going back to what I mentioned earlier in the show is that my immaturity. You know, I used to want to know, what am I going to get out of this relationship? And when I finally evolved and realized it's not what I'm going to get, it's what am I going to offer? And and as you mentioned afterwards, you know, and what's going to be offered to me in return? The whole premise, to my point of view, the whole premise is, what are you bringing to the table? What you as an individual bringing to the table? and so that you know what you're going to bring into a relationship, and so that you know what you're bringing forth in life, the value you bring, you know, the value that you bring forth, not only in the relationship but in life. So that way you draw to you or magnetize to you the person that will fit, that will fit your energy, because by being who you are.
Exactly. You know, it's all about it's all about energy, and it's all about your energy that you're emitting. And, you know, and your energy that you're emitting starts from your thoughts, and then it grows. So whenever you're sitting there thinking, what am I getting, what am I getting, what am I getting, you're going to start also noticing the lack of what you're getting. Oh, this person isn't sending me flowers all the time. This person isn't texting me as much. How come this person didn't call me today? Oh, my God, they must not like me no more. They didn't call me today. How come they didn't give me a kiss as soon as they seen me? How come they sound grumpy on the phone? And you start, and this starts, you start emitting a lot of thoughts that aren't the nicest thoughts, and so therefore it's this vicious cycle. And it sort of goes back with the feeling whenever you can start feeling better. And if you start focusing on you, because you're the only person in this world you can control, you start focusing on what's going to make me feel good. You know, as much as Mike buys me flowers, he would not buy me flowers if it did not make him feel good doing it. And you don't want somebody to do something because they feel like they have to. You want somebody to do something because they want to. And if you're doing something for somebody else because you want to, and you think about different things you've done in your life, if you want to do it, it brings you happiness and joy. But if you feel forced into doing it, you don't. It doesn't bring you happiness and joy. And it elicits a completely different energy for the rest of the whatever's going on. So, you know, if you're out on a date, and you meet somebody, and you instantly, you know, you like them, and then like Al had said, the girlfriend said, hey, you know, she could have anybody she wants. Then Al started having these doubtful thoughts about, well, who am I to have her if she can have anybody that she wants? And he could have just as easily changed his thought pattern to, hey, I'm the best catch that she can find, because I have a lot to offer this girl. So this is where we allow other people and other things to get into our way. So it's what you're, once Al started thinking, well, if she can have anybody that she wants, who am I that she's going to choose me? Then he is putting himself down. He's lowering his energy level to where this girl's not going to want. She may have, had he had the other thought of, well, I'm the best catch that she can get. I have a lot to offer her.
Cindy, great topic, great conversations, and as always, thank you for your wisdom. And for the audience, Cindy Holbrook, the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. As you've heard all her wisdom through all these shows, she's obviously simply wonderful. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from existing pain to purpose that allows you to have a life you truly desire. My email address is al.dealsforlove@gmail.com. And join us every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific. You know what? If you have any questions or comments, let us know, either through our Facebook page or even in the chat room here while we're doing the show. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day or a wonderful evening. Cindy, you rock. Thank you for being a joyous blessing in our life.
And thank you for being you, Al. And thank you to all of our listeners. And you all rock, and love you all, and big hugs, and have a great Labor Day weekend.
Let's do this. Have a good one.